The following is a production of Ninja Penguin Podcasts. And welcome to Meddling Kids, where Chris
and Kaylee
come and talk to you about Scooby-Doo. Even times when it's been, if you're listening to this in real time anyway, months and months and months since we recorded because we are just being horrible people.
And there was some life stuff that kind of got in the way.
So anybody, I'd say younger than 20, this is how TV used to be. You'd have to wait for the season break to come back and then you could start watching your shows again. And we don't like it at all because you'd have to wait. It's not like Netflix where you can just get everything all at once. But with that being said, we're here to talk about an episode right in the middle of a season, so this normally wouldn't have happened. The Haunted Horseman of Hagglethorn Hall.
This is one of my favorite episodes so far for Scooby-Doo movies. It features Davy Jones from the Monkees. When the show opens, we see the Mystery Machine driving through farmland to what they say is an authentic 14th century castle that was brought over here brick by brick from Scotland.
We don't really get a good look at the castle, though, which is really disappointing to me because I really like castles.
It's okay, Chris.
I think I'll survive.
We'll get you a Lego castle.
Please?
Fred asked the girls if they still want to go because they claim that this castle is haunted. I think he's forgotten what they do all the time in every episode.
Either that or we're just seeing the adventures where they actually agree to go along with him. Because I'd like to think that sometimes, like maybe 10% of the time, they can convince him to not go do the scary, creepy thing.
Anyway, it doesn't seem to bother them, but Shaggy and Scooby are a little bit worried. Scooby gets so scared he dives into the picnic basket.
Because of course he does.
It seems to be a Mary Poppins type of picnic basket since it fits a whole Scooby.
Or Scooby can shrink.
Or both.
Why not?
And Velma says that he shouldn't have mentioned ghosts around Scooby because you know how chicken he is. Which reminds Shaggy of something.
Chicken? I just remembered!
And he opens the picnic basket when Scooby sticks his head out, balancing the whole chicken on his nose. Which is actually a pretty cool trick. Think we can teach Thor how to do that?
No, Thor's a cat. He'd just eat it.
He thinks he's a puppy.
That is true.
And the gang takes turns with all these different lines about, you wouldn't! You couldn't! And, I wonder if they've met Scooby.
I'm not sure. Hey, gang, this is Scooby. He's a dog and he likes to eat things.
And they say, you shouldn't! He eats the entire thing.
Ruh-roh.
And everybody's a bit upset because apparently that was their entire lunch.
Also, chicken bones are bad for dogs, so he ate the whole thing in one bite. They need to get these bones away from him.
Don't let your dog try this at home. Everybody's wondering what they're going to do for food. But Shaggy says that ever since they started talking about ghosts, he's been eating his nails. It's a first, since he's not hungry. I guess Shaggy has finally lost his appetite for the first time ever. And Fred realizes that they're almost out of gas. And I guess the castle has a gas station because he says we'd better find the castle soon.
I mean, I'd assume that maybe the castle knows where a gas station is maybe used to tourists, maybe they have a shuttle service, I don't know. I've never been to a castle.
But they never mentioned the gas again, so not gonna worry about it.
They must have found some.
And they see a farmer who's out working in the fields and stop to ask him for directions and make sure they're not actually lost. So the farmer is named Cyrus Weedley.
Because of course it is.
And after he introduces himself, Shaggy starts sneezing and says that he is allergic to straw. But he's never sneezed when they were at farms before, and I know from my parents having a farm, there's straw on, like, all the farms.
Maybe this is different straw.
I don't know. Ridley tries to get them to not go to the castle. He tells them about the haunted horsemen, and Cyrus Wheatley tries to get them to not go to the castle and tells them about the haunted horsemen, which they try to say it's fairy tales, but then suddenly we hear a horse coming.
Which is scary enough in itself because horses are big and scary and they have those big teeth to eat you with.
And we see a gray knight on a gray horse with a lance. He rides by and knocks a jack-o'-lantern head off of a scarecrow right into Shaggy's arms, which honestly is kind of impressive.
Sends shivers down your spine.
What spine?
Well, that's just not very nice.
Well, everybody's picking on Shaggy in this episode, and Shaggy is telling a bunch of bad jokes, so he kind of deserves it. Anyway, they tell Mr. Wheatley that they still want to go to Hagglethorn Hall, that it would be a shame to turn back after all this traveling. And Mr. Wheatley says that, well, if you insist on going, it's at the end of the line.
The end of the line?
I mean the end of the lane. Just follow your nose.
No, seriously, he says that. It's like he's a toucan or something.
He must be.
I don't know.
It's a toucan Sam in disguise.
I'd rather follow my instincts and scram out of here.
Oh, Shaggy, what do you think could happen to you in an old castle?
I bet that's what Henry VIII said to Anne Boleyn.
Kudos to Shaggy for a history reference.
Yes, he actually knew things, so anybody who is a history person, you know what's going on. And if you're not a history person,
just look up Henry VIII.
He had lots of wives. He got rid of them.
Not a very good husband. When they get to Hagglethorn Hall, the drawbridge is up, and they can't figure out how to cross the moat. Shaggy leans on a post that looks like where you would tie up your horse so that you can go in the castle and not bring your horse inside.
It might be the first luck we've had all day.
Of course, when he leans on the post, it turns out to be a lever that drops the drawbridge, which scares them all, and they all think they're about to be smushed, even though it's pretty obvious the drawbridge goes right across the moat and lands on some blocks that are sticking out over the moat, and it doesn't land on top of any place that they were standing.
I mean, if a drawbridge started closing up or opening up at me, I'd be a little freaked out.
I would think it's cool. I want to see a drawbridge go.
Yeah, but if you weren't expecting it and then all of a sudden it's opening at you?
I guess. Well, they don't seem to realize that Shaggy made it open, and Fred suggests maybe it's just some theatrics to scare tourists. And the water in the moat is apparently really black and not shiny.
I believe their very scientific word for it was inky. That's like stinky without the ST at the beginning.
And they talk about not being able to see their reflections and stuff. Shaggy makes a bad joke about it being the Erie Canal because somebody called it Erie. And,
womp womp.
Yeah, pretty much. Velma makes a bad joke saying that she wants Shaggy to stop joking. Anyway, while the humans are trying to figure out how to knock on the door, Scooby is still crossing the moat and notices a giant frog face. Scooby makes a really good door knocker because he takes off running and crashes right into it. Nyx knows how to knock on doors.
So Nyx, our cat, who is a cat, can figure out how to knock on a door, but not anybody here. I'm willing to give them a lot, but how do you knock on a door?
I think maybe they were looking for a door knocker so it would be loud enough for them to be heard, because castles are big.
Okay, I did forget about that. Now I feel dumb.
It's okay. Anyway, Scooby tries to tell them that he sees a frog by putting his paws far apart and going ribbit ribbit.
Ribbit ribbit?
And nobody believes him, and they start teasing him and make him sad. Poor Scooby.
Rip it. Rip it.
Then a creepy butler guy who looks like he belongs in Dracula, but talks like the narrator from the Monster Mash song. So maybe Frankenstein. Who is named Creech, answers the door and makes the gang really, really nervous.
Because he looks like he's a vampire who would narrate the Monster Mash song. I can't blame him there.
True. And the gang says that they want to tour the castle, but they can come back later.
Yeah, like 1987.
But a portcullis slams down behind them, and they're essentially trapped.
Wait, can we jump back for a second?
Okay.
We're going... If Shaggy wants to come back in 1987, we're talking like 10 years.
Well...
Something like that, right?
Ish, yeah.
Yeah. Why doesn't he just say never?
I don't know.
I want to know if... I don't know if anybody can find a Scooby-Doo writer at all, but if somebody knows how to get in touch with a Scooby-Doo writer from back then, I would love to know why they picked 1987.
Because they felt like it.
But why?
I don't know. Anyway, now that the gang's trapped, Creech says that they're simply dying to have them.
They're simply dying to have them.
That's not ominous at all.
Not at all, ma'am.
When they go into the great room entryway thing, the door closes behind them on its own. We see the bolt slide into place and lock from the inside where they are, but they can't figure out how to open the door.
Okay, so they wouldn't have been able to open the door anyway, and somehow they're not creeped out by this. This is the creepy part right here of the whole episode. It's just the door locking. You don't see anybody moving it. This place is seriously haunted because a ghost came and locked the door.
That's true. Shaggy says
the place gives me cold feet.
And Fred points out that everything gives Shaggy cold feet.
That's because my shoes, they're made out of ice cubes.
I think the gang is kind of tired of traveling because they're picking on each other an awful lot in this episode. And Shaggy's trying harder than usual to not participate. And to tell a bunch of bad jokes. And at the top of some stairs, a knight suddenly appears. But he's kind of clunky looking. And Fred seems to think it's the horseman, and everybody's acting scared. This is important. Everybody is acting scared. They think this is the actual horseman.
Is Fred acting scared?
Well, he's at least convinced that it's the horseman. He's the one who says it.
Is Daphne acting scared?
They all are.
Everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll understand in a minute why this is important. The horseman asks, "Who dares invade the castle? You'll pay dearly for this intrusion." And then he promptly falls down the stairs.
Because of course he does. That's no haunted horseman. It's the klutzy cavalier.
But Daphne is worried that the poor thing might be hurt, and Velma suggests they help him out of his outfit.
Women. Go figure him out. No, seriously, that's what he says. That's not me being a mean person.
And he totally facepalms during that.
Yes, he does. I did that, too. You just couldn't see it because this is a podcast that's only audio.
Velma helps get his helmet off, and the knight says...
Now I know why they're called knights. All you see are stars.
And as soon as the helmet comes the rest of the way off, Velma recognizes him as Davy Jones.
And she sees a different kind of stars.
And Daphne notices that the armor is made entirely out of tin cans, which Fred is not impressed with, but I think it's kind of cool that he made fairly convincing armor out of tin cans.
He did the best he could with what he had. And really, that's all armor is anyway. It's just metal melded into a roughly hollow human shape.
True. Fred laughs at him and...
Well, I guess the best was none too good. Although, I'd like to see Fred go make some armor because I bet it would be even worse. probably made out of cardboard.
And it was enough to convince Fred a minute ago.
He's just trying to show off for the ladies.
Probably.
It didn't work.
Turns out Davy was wearing the costume to try and scare away the actual haunted horseman. But Fred says that no one would be scared by that outfit, except for his 3-year-old nephew. But I thought you had to have a sibling to have a nephew.
I don't know. We'll let that one slide.
Fred doesn't have any siblings.
That we know of. Maybe he has a secret family.
I think I've seen all the Scooby-Doo. There's no family, other than, like, parents.
I mean, you don't really see his parents either, except for a pup named Scooby-Doo. This is going down a dark timeline. We'll get to that later.
Anyway, Shaggy and Scooby say they were scared by the outfit.
We're scared by the outfit?
They definitely were, because they are now hiding, and they are introduced as Captain Courageous and his wonder dog, Scooby.
Which just means that Scooby needs a cape, because now he's a wonder dog.
Yes. I want to see Scooby in a cape. That'd be awesome.
I'm pretty sure that exists somewhere. We'll find pictures.
Davy says that Scooby's an interesting-looking animal, and Fred says that he's a rare breed, part terrier and part terrified. Scooby is rightfully insulted.
Yeah, Great Danes are not terriers. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
They're nice big dogs.
Yeah, but Fred and the girls laugh at him anyway. Poor Scooby.
The theme of the day is make fun of Shag and Scooby.
Especially Scooby. They go to the library and see a portrait of a guy in a wheelchair.
That's my Uncle Sedgwick. He brought the castle over brick by brick. No wonder he's sitting down. They say the haunted horseman came along with it. And the horsemen, I mean, they've scared away everybody. All the tourists and Uncle Sedgwick's money got scared away. And if this stuff keeps going on, he's going to have to sell the castle or give the castle, however that works. I don't know. To his cousin, the Duke of Strathmore. And he's pretty sure that his cousin just wants to dismantle the thing and sell it off for souvenirs and just never have to deal with it again. Which obviously makes him a horrible person because he wants to tear apart a castle. You can tell he's a horrible person because in his picture, not only is he wearing a tie, he's not smiling at all.
The gang offers to help since the castle was Sedgwick's whole life and it would be a shame to break this old man's heart and to break a beautiful old castle. But Shaggy has a theory about who the bad guy probably is.
It's probably Creech. He just looks and sounds creepy and it's just gotta be him. I know who's standing behind this. It's Creech. Well, he's standing behind something. So Davy takes everybody into the castle to meet his Uncle Sedgwick. And he's just finished writing a letter to the Duke of Strathmore, pretty much saying, yes, the castle, everything in it, all that is yours. I'm hoping that he gets to keep, like, his personal stuff, but they don't really make that clear. It might just be an understood thing.
And apparently, this letter that Sedgwick wrote is a very early form of email that's somehow written on paper but still gets to somebody instantly. Because he says that it's too late to save the castle since he's already written to him while he's still holding the letter in his hands.
So far, we haven't really had any indication of what time of day this is. We do know that everything has happened on the same day. Or at least we can, you know, logically guess that everything has happened on the same day because, you know, we're detectives. And they haven't had a scene where anybody goes to bed or eaten a meal besides Scooby eating all the chicken.
And Cedric says they have until 8 o'clock this evening to solve the mystery when they talk him out of mailing the letter immediately. And apparently, if they can solve it by 8 o'clock, then he won't mail the letter. He will keep the castle.
This is a totally arbitrary time that he's picked. We have no idea why. Maybe the postal service comes by, you know, really late at night or something. Maybe they have one of those fancy blue mailboxes where you can drop things into it, and the mail dude just comes by and grabs it, like, last thing, takes it home with him or something. I don't know, because we've been mulling this over honestly, this isn't why, but I'm going to tell you that this is the reason why we've taken so long to get this episode out. It's because we've been trying to figure out why 8 o'clock is so important relative to getting this letter mailed.
I don't know why he couldn't at least wait until morning or something. But anyway, the whole time this is going on, there's some creepy eyes watching them from a suit of armor. And we see that armor press something on the wall, which opens a trap door, dropping Shaggy and Scooby into the moat. Fred says something really confusing about that.
Yeah, he says it's perfect timing because it's Saturday. And I mean, normally this is where I try to bust out the Fred voice, but I can't even remember what it is because I have no idea what Saturday has to do with this at all.
Saturday is moat day!
Unless they're saying this is a Saturday morning cartoon. And of course they're falling into the moat because you're watching this on a Saturday because it's in the cartoon.
I hadn't thought of that.
It is a giant meta commentary on the fact that they know exactly when you, the watcher, are going to be watching this because this is back in the day where it was TV or nothing.
Well, I would love to hear theories on why Saturday is perfect for falling in a moat. But Davey says that it's not perfect because there's a moat monster.
It's not perfect. There's a moat monster. He doesn't sound very worried about that.
When they go look outside, Shaggy and Scooby are swimming and having the time of their lives. Until the giant frog monster comes out of the water behind them.
How big is this frog?
Really big.
We'll come back to that.
Hi, I'm Mackin from Species, the podcast about animals. Chris sent me a message the other day asking me to fact-check Scooby-Doo from a biological perspective, and I assumed he was going to ask me about the talking dog. Instead, he asked me about a giant frog. He wanted to know how big a frog could get, and whether it is possible for a frog to be as big as a human. And my answer is, unequivocally, no. Absolutely not. The largest species of frog on Earth is the Goliath frog, although they look more like a David, considering they are hardly a foot long. You might be thinking to yourself, well, the gang might have assumed they saw a leftover species of frog from ancient times when animals were a lot bigger or something like that. And while there are other problems with that that idea, the largest species of frog ever, the devil frog, another great name, an extinct species, was about 16 inches long. Big for a frog, don't get me wrong, but rather small for a human. So if you see a human-sized frog, you've either made a misjudgment about the size of humans, or you have made a misjudgment about the size of the frog you're seeing, or you're seeing someone in a frog costume, or you have made a biological discovery the likes of which the world has never seen. If you want to hear about a real giant amphibian, one of the Japanese actually believed ate horses, then you can come listen to the Japanese giant salamander episode of Species. And if you just want to hear more about frogs, then you can hear about the scariest frog in the world, the poison dart frog, or a frog that can turn themselves into a rock. The pebble toad. Toad, I guess, not a frog. Anyway, thanks for having me on, Chris. I look forward to talking to you guys soon.
The frog kind of croak growls at them, which Shaggy thinks is someone's stomach, until he notices the monster, and then they take off running on the water until they're caught on seaweed that the monster is using as a tow rope to water ski behind them. It's actually a pretty fun scene.
I want to go water skiing from people running away.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I know.
So Shaggy and Scooby try to leave, but the others give them a guilt trip.
Cowardice is deeper than all the things. No, seriously, he says all the things.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. In my brain.
So they were trying to ask if he had integrity and honor and stuff, and he's like, cowardice is deeper. And so Shaggy walks out carrying Scoob, but the drawbridge starts to close, and they slide back into the hall.
I'm sorry for closing the drawbridge, but it was the only way to bring you back. And then Shaggy is all, thanks. I learned there's something that goes deeper than cowardice. Splinters!
Fred gets everyone back on track, and Velma suggests they split into two groups. And Fred goes with Shaggy and Scooby this time, leaving Davy to go with the girls.
I don't think Fred picked the groups.
I don't think so either. The girls might have. Davy and the girls go into a music room, but all the furniture is covered with white sheets.
What a waste of a music room.
I know, right? And one chair has eyes and shoes and starts following them.
I think it might not be a chair.
Are you sure?
Maybe.
I thought all chairs had eyes and shoes and could walk.
Chairs have feet.
Well, these feet have shoes on them. It's a special chair. When Velma reaches to uncover the chair, even though she hasn't noticed that it followed them, the piano starts making noise, and a lump is moving around on the keyboard. Davy pulls the sheet off of the piano to reveal Creech's pet cat, who is playing the piano the way cats like to, by just walking all over the place.
And he's so cute, I want a little kitty.
But unfortunately, uncovering the cat scatters a whole bunch of dust, making the chair sneeze.
I really don't think this is a chair.
Well, it's apparently a ghost chair, because when it sneezes, the sheet flies off and the feet run away, but there's no chair. But they follow its footprints.
More air randomly escaping your throat. But there's no chair! Shaggy's not in this scene. I just really wanted to do that.
We catch up with Fred, Shaggy, and Scooby, who haven't found anything, which is making Shaggy very happy.
You know it is!
Until they hear a galloping horse inside the castle. The haunted horseman ghost is running at them with the lance in hand, and it's translucent this time, which in past episodes has meant this is a hologram or projection of some sort.
They're not learning from their past experiences very well here. It kind of suggests to me that a lot of these episodes were made at the same time, as opposed to, you know, let's make an episode with the intention of it's going after this one, and then there's other things later that are definitely going after the one that they're making.
I think they were always planning on reruns because Saturday morning cartoons.
Whoosh. That's the sound of something going over my head.
They run into a room at the end of the hallway and barricade the door with all the furniture.
Like, seriously, all the furniture, even the stuff you wouldn't normally move.
Like, they throw a couch to Shaggy and he holds it by himself and leans it against the door.
Well, you know, Shaggy's super strong.
Yes, he is. He proves it in this scene. Somehow the ghost comes from the other end of the room through a wall, so they have to unbarricade the door to escape.
We never really see what the ghost comes through. I like to think that there's another door on the other side of the room, Zelda dungeon style.
Or maybe it really is just a projection. Anyway, they run into Creech, who overhears them saying that the horseman came through the wall. And he takes a look through the door and says,
if he's in there, he's invisible.
Then he disappears himself.
Because he's a ghost.
Well, the horseman comes at them again. They slam the doors behind them, and Fred tells Scooby to watch in back of them.
Because Shaggy and Scooby have eyes in the back of their head, and they can do that.
And so now comes some impossible things. We see the horseman kind of grow out of the back of the fireplace. Like, it starts out tiny, and then I guess it gets closer and bigger. And then it starts running at them. It's still translucent, but Scooby jumps up on a chandelier and somehow falls down onto this translucent horse. So there's some sort of magic going on here where the ghost is now solid and see-through at the same time.
Or Scooby weighs less than light and is able to sit on a projection.
Ooh.
But he also ate all that food, which means he'd have to be heavy. So Scooby is a dimension-altering being, and now this entire show makes a whole lot more sense on a whole different level.
So that's his wonder dog power. Well, Scooby is riding on this horse backwards, doesn't realize that he's on a ghost until he turns around at the mention of food.
Food?
Anyway, when he realizes he's on a ghost, he falls off and they all end up hiding in the kitchen in huge cauldrons. When Fred notices that Scooby's missing, Shaggy says,
what a fine kettle of fish. I have a question for you, though. What's the difference between a cauldron and a kettle?
Kettles are for tea.
No, seriously, is that it?
Well, as far as I know, kettles are more like teapot type of things. You know, what I make tea on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
Cauldrons are more like big giant pots for cooking over a fire.
So why would you infect your tea with fish?
I don't.
I mean, I know you don't, but if you have a kettle of, maybe, I don't understand where this is coming from, because the only thing I'm picturing now,
I'm sure it's an older term for kettle, which I haven't actually looked up, but a fine kettle of fish is a saying.
Okay, I'll believe you.
Since we recorded this, I've done a little bit of research and found out that there is such a thing as a fish kettle, which is a long oval-shaped pot that's, it looks like a Dutch oven, kind of. And it has a tight-fitting lid and a grate on the inside so that you can cook a whole fish, and you pull out the grate so that the fish does not get broken when you pull it out, apparently. Also, a cauldron is basically just a really large kettle. So they're essentially the same thing, at least as far as historic stuff goes.
When Shaggy says that, of course that's Scooby's cue to toss a bunch of fish skeletons out of his cauldron.
Because he's been eating fish.
He's so silly.
From a kettle. He ate a kettle of fish, and it was probably fine.
Shaggy and Scooby are convinced that the ghost is real because it was going through walls, and they want to leave, but Fred gives them a guilt trip and says they have to stop running and lure the horseman back to prove that he is fake.
You think he's going to be able to make him come back?
I don't know.
Let's find out after this commercial break.
Hey, my name's Paul, and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna, and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
Except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Ha! Varmints! Varmints!
When we come back, we see Davy and the girls following the footprints from the music room to the library, which Velma correctly assumes is a trap.
Because everything is a trap, because Velma has obviously played Zelda, it's all a trap.
And the door locks behind them immediately. And the other door closes itself.
No. See, you're missing the most important part here. They're standing there trying to figure out how to get out through that door, completely ignoring the door on the other side of the room.
Which does close itself as soon as they notice it.
It's true. But is it on a noticing timer or is it on a time timer?
I think it's on a noticing timer because that's more dramatic.
Okay.
Anyway, once both doors are closed, the lights go out, a different door opens and glowing footprints appear, followed by a knight who stands there laughing at them. Velma convinces Davy to try to tackle it, but he goes right through the ghost, which somehow starts chasing him. Daphne thinks it's actually a ghost, but Velma is smart, of course, because she's Velma, and she notices a projector hidden in the bookshelf.
I would like to give lots of kudos to the person who set the projector up for getting all these angles right.
And somehow knowing exactly when they would start running so that the ghost could chase Davy and which direction he would go.
Oh, that's just because they can see the future.
Oh.
You know, because they're a ghost and ghosts can do that.
Okay.
Ghosts are not constrained by the laws of time and space.
Daphne finds a book that opens a secret passage and they decide to follow it.
Can we have one of those?
I wish.
Okay.
And we jump back to Fred, Shaggy, and Scooby, who are running from the ghost. And Fred wants to find a safe place to think of a plan, even though he was the one trying to get the ghost to come back earlier. Probably should have thought of the plan and then gone after the ghost.
Yeah, we'll get over it.
Anyway, they end up in a hall with a dead end, and they run all the way to the wall and are about to be run over by the ghost when a hole opens in the wall and Creech pulls them through into a hidden room.
Except they don't know that that's who pulled them through, because you get the whole cartoon, eyes in the darkness. Hey, I'm me. Hey, I'm me.
Hey, I'm in here too.
And Shaggy lights the brightest match on the face of the earth and it lights up the whole room.
This thing's like an LED light bulb match.
I want one of those.
No.
Aw. Creech tells them that there are secret panels. He opens another one and leads them out, where Scooby promptly sits on a horseshoe nail. Creech points out that a phantom horse wouldn't wear a horseshoe.
But fails to ask Scooby if he needs to get tested for tetanus. Can dogs even get tetanus?
I don't know, but I would be worried if my dog sat on a horseshoe.
They should at least check for bleeding. Yeah. Be responsible pet owners.
Poor Scooby. Shaggy leans on something and accidentally opens another passage. He's doing that a lot this episode. And they assume that the horsemen used that passage and, of course, go through. And cue evil cackle, which scares poor Scooby. We go back and see Davy and the girls in an underground cavern, where Daphne is admiring the colorful stalagmites. I guess she learned from the last episode that had stalagmites in it. And Velma gives us a little geology lesson on how they're formed.
See, it proves that they are able to learn from past episodes. Maybe there's kind of a linear thing going.
Maybe. They hear screeching bats and make a joke like on the Shark Island one, where Daphne says, "What's that?" And Davy says, "C sharp."
Was it?
No. I was really impressed when they got it right on Shark Island, but when I checked, I was mostly getting G-sharp and A-sharp, which is sad. At least it's a sharp. Anyway, after the bats leave, Velma calls them icky creatures. But that kind of surprises me coming from her. I would expect it from Daphne, not Velma.
Also, bats are not icky. They are a vital part of the ecosystem.
And they're kind of cute.
And they eat mosquitoes, I think.
The ones around here do.
They at least eat bugs. Bats are your friend.
Davy notices some giant frog footprints, which must belong to the moat monster.
I'll give him that. That's totally logical.
Mm-hmm. They decide to get out of there as fast as possible by running toward the monster.
That's how you run away from things, right?
Yep.
You run the opposite of away from them to get away from them.
Yep.
Cartoon logic. I love it, though. I mean, would it be a good cartoon without these little silly things?
It would not be as much fun.
No, it really wouldn't. And as much as I'm probably sounding like I don't like this kind of thing, that's what makes a cartoon. It's these silly things like this.
And you should have seen him giggling when we watched it.
We might make a video of that later.
The Moat Monster seems really confused about why they're standing there talking and not running away from it. And Velma convinces Davy to sing to the monster because music soothes the savage beast.
I've never sung for frogs before. Just monkeys, which is weird because he was singing with monkeys, but that's a whole different issue.
He sings a rendition of I Can Make You Happy, which was actually used in an earlier episode of Scooby-Doo. It was in the Mystery Mask mix-up of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
I wonder if they got to use it cheaper.
I don't know. It's a different recording of it because this one is actually Davy Jones singing it and the other one was not. Anyway, hijinks ensue while he's singing, and because it's the chase song of the episode, and the frog keeps falling in the water and stuff, which is hilarious. And sometimes he's hopping, sometimes he's running as if he's a dog on all fours, which is interesting. And at the end, somehow Davy is singing through a reed that he's using as a snorkel while he and the girls are hiding under some water from the monster.
Yeah, we're gonna totally ignore physics on this one.
It's a fun scene at the end.
Let's just jump back inside. We can be detectives again in there. Overall, it's just more fun.
Shaggy and Fred have found a clock, and it's 4 o'clock, so they've got 4 hours left. Shaggy's ready to give up, but Fred refuses and keeps accidentally making Scooby hungry by using words that also are food.
See, this actually makes a lot of things make more sense to me, because if it's 4 o'clock now, presumably they've been doing this for, I'd say, hours. Probably puts them roughly noonish when they got to the castle in the first place. It makes perfect sense to me that, you know, you could have the mail guy coming around like noon, 1 o'clock, something like that. It also doesn't make sense to me at all where if the mail guy is going to be coming like 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that, why 8 o'clock is an important stopping time.
Who knows? Anyway, Scooby throws a little fit and kicks a statue, which reveals a secret door behind the wall panel that was actually behind the clock, which now says 3 o'clock.
It's daylight savings time.
Just in the past few minutes, apparently.
Yeah, and the clock sets itself because it's a grandfather clock, but it also can set itself.
Okay, then. We see a shadowy figure hiding behind some curtains, which pulls a knife off of a holder thing on the wall and triggers a trapdoor under Fred, Shaggy, and Scooby.
Wait, is that, are knives allowed?
It's a display knife. It's a castle. They have weapons on the walls because decoration.
This is the most violent episode of Scooby I have ever seen.
He didn't stab anybody with it. It was just another trigger for a secret passageway.
They could have gotten hurt. It's a sharp object.
I didn't say it was a sharp knife.
Then it's an even more dangerous knife.
The monster is still chasing Davy and the girls, who cross a narrow land bridge across a gorge to a dead end. But when the monster starts to cross the bridge, the boys fall on top of it, which break the bridge and strand the monster on the far side. But the boys are safe and standing with the girls and Davy.
Again, we're going to ignore physics here.
As Davy points out, the monster is hopping mad.
He's hopping mad.
Once the frog is done throwing its little tantrum, it starts to rip a stalagmite out of the ground as a replacement bridge. That shouldn't be possible. It's a huge stalagmite, by the way.
It really is. So Shaggy's looking at it. He thinks this whole thing is ridiculous. Because a stalactite might, but a stalagmite's tight. I have no idea what I'm saying.
But apparently it works because the monster crosses the stalagmite when Scooby starts howling. Which he doesn't usually do. But Shaggy claims that he always does that during full moons and moat monster attacks.
To be fair, we haven't really seen a moat monster yet.
I bet we've seen a full moon, though.
We have. We did not see howling. Maybe it has to be a moat monster attack during a full moon. He did say and.
But it's daytime. It's 4 o'clock. We just found out what time it is.
The moon is out somewhere. Haven't you seen the moon during the day?
No.
Not at 4 o'clock, but still.
Scooby's howling causes a stalactite to fall, which pins the monster suit to the stalagmite. And a scuba diver climbs out and runs away. I'm impressed that he can manage to run while wearing scuba flippers, because those are hard to even walk in.
I'm impressed that he didn't wet himself after he had a stalactite almost fall on him.
He might have. He's wearing a scuba suit. It'd be hard to tell.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I've heard from people that they just pee in their scuba suits anyway.
Ew.
We'll ask your brother later.
The gang chases the scuba diver, who tips over the top of a small stalagmite and closes a stalactite gate behind him. Apparently, he's been doing a lot of work making this a pretty high-tech cave.
Yeah, this is insane. There's absolutely no reason for this to be naturally occurring like that. I don't know. With all of this work that he did, he could have built an amusement park.
Yep. Shaggy scares Scooby into digging a hole under the gate to the other side, where he opens it for the humans.
No, please pronounce it the way you wrote it in the show notes.
He opens the gate for the humans.
Thank you.
And they notice that there are trails of footprints all over the place after the whole musical chase sequence.
Because of course there are. Actually, I really appreciate that because really, of course there would be footprints and they're not just magically gone.
Velma realizes that the monster's footprints were side by side while he was chasing them because he was hopping like a frog, but now that he's not in his costume, he's switched to running. So the new footprints won't be side by side.
I'm not buying it.
He was running on all fours, where the footprints would definitely not be side by side during a good bit of the chase, but I didn't notice it until like the 6th or 7th time I watched this, so I'm going to let it slide this time. Otherwise, it's actually decent logic. They finally find the new trail and follow it to yet another dead end.
What is it with dead ends here?
They sound creepy.
Okay. They also found a horseshoe.
They pick up the horseshoe and say, you know what this means?
Yeah, somewhere down here, there's a barefoot horse.
Shaggy decides to make a wish.
To not find a ghost.
So he covers his eyes and tosses the horseshoe over his shoulder, which, of course, bounces off the scenery and triggers the secret passage to open.
Let's go find a ghost!
After walking for what they say is miles, Shaggy starts sneezing because there's straw falling from above them. Shaggy's sneeze is so strong and knocks him right into a lever that raises the floor they're on, which turns out to be an elevator. They find themselves in Weedley's barn, where Scooby manages to cover himself in luminous paint. And it must be what they were using to make the horse at night glow.
I can understand painting a horse with the paint because horses are evil monsters. But why did they paint the knight? Because that's just not very nice. Although they were just painting his armor, so I guess it's okay.
The knight was probably the one doing the painting. And he wanted to look like a glowy ghost. What if you wanted to look like a glowy ghost?
I'd get a glow-in-the-dark bedsheet and then realize that I don't look like a ghost and just go to bed.
Obviously, Chris knows nothing about costumes.
It's true.
Shaggy starts sneezing again, hard enough to suddenly reveal this scuba diver from under a bunch of hay.
Nobody really reacts to this at all.
Because the knight comes riding in, and he's translucent again, but somehow still manages to crash into stuff and get pinned under some hay bales. So, yeah, once again, he's translucent but solid.
Glass is translucent but solid.
But that hasn't been the case with the ghosts in these episodes. Every time they've been translucent, it's been a projection.
New theory, this ghost is made out of glass.
Oh boy. When they unmask the knight, it turns out to be the Duke of Strathmore. And Wheatley was the scuba diver. Apparently he was in on it because he would get half the money from selling the castle.
He was in pretty good shape for an old dude, though.
I know, right?
I wish I was like that.
They said they wanted to scare the visitors away, so the hall would be sold to the Duke. And when Creech offers to call the authorities...
Sir, should I call the authorities?
The Duke of Strathmore points out that that wouldn't be so good for the family name.
He also doesn't have much of an accent, so that's pretty accurate the way she said it.
They decide, instead of hurting the family name, they should turn the ghost into part of the tourist attraction. And it seems to work because we see a huge crowd and the gang helping to sell souvenirs and tickets. And everybody's happy except for the bad guys who now have to be a ghost and a moat monster all the time, several times a day. And they're being very whiny. Serves him right.
See, now, if anybody ever tells you to get a job doing what you love, this is your example of why that's a bad idea. Because obviously they love running around acting like a ghost knight and a frog, but now that it's kind of their quote-unquote job, they don't like it anymore.
They're especially complaining about saddle sores and being waterlogged.
I remember the thing I couldn't remember earlier. How does Davy Jones live in this castle and not realize there's a giant cave underneath his castle?
Because he hadn't found that secret passage yet. He's not you. He didn't go around finding all the secret passages.
See, more than anything else from this entire episode, I want to know from all of you, if you lived in a castle, wouldn't you spend like the first 3 months looking for all the secret passages?
Apparently not if you're Davy Jones.
It's not like he has anything better to do.
Creech didn't even know all of them, and it's his job.
He knew most of them.
But he managed to miss some, so even if Davy Jones explored, he might not have found the one that leads to the caverns. It could have been recently installed.
All I'm saying is that finding secret passages is much more important than singing with monkeys.
At the very end of the episode, Shaggy actually offers to help them with any future ghost/mystery problems, which is kind of surprising after he spent the entire time trying to get out of solving this one.
I think he just knew they'd never be back, so they can remember him on a good note, but it didn't matter.
Could be.
If you have thoughts on any of these theories that we brought up, or have some random thoughts of your own about this episode, you can get in touch with us over on Facebook at the Meddling Kids Pod and Scooby-Doo Discussion Group, or on Twitter at Meddling Kids Pod.
You can join the discussion group, which is moderated by Tiff, because she is super cool. We love her, and you should too, if you know what's good for you.
Can you do it with a ghost voice?
If you know what's good for you.
Sweet. If you want to help support the show, then you can visit the store that we've set up. Well, actually, Julie set up and we just kind of took over. Because she said we could. We had permission. Or you can check out the Patreon that's set up. And links to both of those are down in the show notes. You can also find links to those on MeddlingKidsPod.com.
If you like hearing us, check out Play Comics, where Chris does that thing over there. And sometimes I join in.
Yeah, those are the really good ones. It's not quite as family-friendly as this, though, so if you have small children, you might want to preview the episodes first.
Thank you to Dave Seste for the music, Night Surfing.
And the next time you run into the same ghost projection over and over across tons of different places in the castle, you know what he's probably going to say?
He would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for us meddling kids.
Wonder Dog. copyright infringement coming, taking this out later because I don't want to get hit by the copyright police. I had to get that out of me, though.